Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth that proceeds from the mouth of God. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. And we're tempted so we will be strong. So we will have, James says, endurance. And so therefore we constantly have to watch. We have constantly be able to say no and constantly be able to run.
The truth is, Christ offers you the power to resist temptation. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Mountain of Temptation, by encouraging you to follow Christ's lead, say no to temptation, and run. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mountain of Temptation, Part 2.
This, ladies and gentlemen, if you know anything about history or today's world, that's the call of the communist. I'll feed you. I'll look after you. I'll give you everything you need. You won't have to work, won't have to do anything. We'll take from these and give to others. We'll have a level society. Man, I'll give you bread. It's all covered, cradle to the grave. A tremendous appeal then and today, is it not? To every one of us, when you think about it. You mean I follow you and I'm going to have everything I need to live this life? Man, just bring on the bread. You've got to follow in me. Jesus quoted scripture. Here he quoted a passage from Deuteronomy 8. We're going to see the other two temptations. He quoted passages from Deuteronomy 6. And Jesus said to Satan, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is how you have to live. In other words, we can't live on the basis of all that is tangible. How many people do we know, we read about, and some we may know personally, that have everything this world can offer? I mean, you name it, they've got it. Are they happy? Are they fulfilled? Do they feel like, boy, my life is full, I have wealth and health and happiness, I've got it? No, 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 1,000 times no. Jesus is right. That scripture is right. Man can't live by bread alone, but by what proceeds, the principles that come out of the mouth and the teachings of Almighty God and His Word. We need that. You say, well, I like stuff that's real. I like bread. I like tangible kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. You think something has to be tangible to be real? If you believe that, when you get home, take a piece of metal, bend down and go to one of your outlets and stick that metal in. You're going to experience power that you can't see. It's called electricity. And scientists really today can't tell you exactly what electricity is. Did you know they describe it and they tell you what it does, but they don't yet know exactly what it is. You can't see it. Do you see love? You see example? Do you see compassion? You see these intangible things. Jesus answers with a quote from Scripture saying, you can have it all and still be empty. All of us have these passions or these drives or these instincts in our lives, do we not? There's an instinct for acceptance. There's an instinct for physical gratification. There's an instinct for fellowship. There's an instinct to get ahead. All these instincts are there, and the devil would have us try to fulfill all these natural built-in passions our way and not God's way. What was he saying to Jesus? He was saying, Jesus, you don't have to go by way of the cross. Here's a shortcut. You want all the world to follow you? Just give them bread. That will do it. You see, some people have the idea Christianity is, well, it's what you find in the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal left home, he went to his dad and says, give me. Give me. Some people have the idea that that's what God and Christ and the church and the kingdom of God is all about. God, give me. God, zap me. God, heal me. God, make me rich. God, give me. God, give me. But when the prodigal went back home, broken, empty, diseased, desperate, he went back, and what did he say to his father? He said, make me. Give me is some kind of magical religion. Make me is Christianity. It is morality. And why do we have to have temptation anyway? Anybody? Why did Jesus have to have temptation? It's because we live in a moral universe. It's because we have choices to make. And if there's not a choice between good and evil, we're just all robots. We're programmed. But we know that Jesus saw all the way through this temptation. He said, man can't live by bread alone, but by the principles of God that comes through his mouth. That's how we find life. Then look at the second temptation. Remember the point. How are you going to bring this kingdom to pass? How are you going to accomplish the purpose of your life? Look at the second one. Then the devil took him into the holy city, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to Jesus, since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And then the devil quotes the scripture, Psalm 91. He will command his angels concerning you, and their hands will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. My, it's like the devil said, Jesus, I know I should have realized you're a spiritual person. And the idea of feeding people, the physical answer, you're spiritual, therefore you know the Bible. And Satan says, I know the Bible. By the way, he knows the Bible better than any of us. He's Phi Beta Kappa in the Bible. He said, you know, you said you have faith and you believe in the Father. Just use your faith and go in the temple and just do a swan dive right down off the temple, 450 feet high, by the way, there on Solomon's Porch. Just jump down 450 feet. And this Psalm 91 says that the angels will come and catch you, and you will not even stub your toe. You'll not have a scratch on you. And the devil said, if you'll do that, boy, all the people will follow you. Say, man, here's a miracle. This is the Messiah. Man, he's got it. He's of God. He is a supernatural person. He said, that's all you have to do. Just claim that verse and jump off the top of the temple, and man, they'll all fall down and follow you and worship you. You know what that is? That's the sin of presumption. It's a sin, by the way, this scripture is quoted out of context, totally different meaning. And Satan is a master. And some people who stand in the pulpit are masters at twisting God's truth and making it say what they want to say. People open the Bible and say, here's a promise in the Bible. I'm going to claim this promise. All the promises there are not for you and me. There are plenty of them that are, but you can't just go in there and play a biblical gymnastics and find, well, I want this one. No, no, and that's what Satan did with Jesus. And that's the sin of presumption. How does that operate? Businessman, overweight. All of his colleagues says, you got to lose some weight. You're going to die. You can't carry all this weight. And he made a resolution, and he said, I want all of you to hold me accountable, his family to hold him accountable. So he began to lose some weight. And he told all of them in the office, he said, now I don't even drive to work the same way. I used to drive by this bakery, and I would stop. He said, now I go around that bakery. This went on for several weeks. He was losing weight. They were applauding him. And then one day he came in with a large coffee cake, just smiling. And they said, Bill, what in the world are you doing? He said, it's of God. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, I've gotten strong now, and I can resist temptation. He said, I drove by that bakery yesterday, and I was driving by it today. And he said, I looked in the window, and I saw all that stuff hot and smoking and all kind of bread and cookies. And he said, I just said, Lord, if you want me to have some of that, I want you to have a parking place right in the middle of the bakery. He said, that will be a sign that I should go in and indulge myself. And he said, you know what happened? The eighth time around the block, there was a place. Ever try to manipulate God like that? It's a sin of presumption. And you hear, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let me tell you something. That's not how we use God's word and the scripture. It's distorted. That's not true biblical truth. It's not living on the basis of true biblical principles. And so he comes and says, you know, just jump off the temple and God will bear you up. Don't presume on God, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, obviously God wants to do this. Well, I'm dating this guy and he's not a Christian and I'm the only chance he'll have ever to become a Christian. Therefore, I'm going to keep on dating him and marry him. You're presuming on God. No, no. Well, just jump off. And look at Jesus' answer to this, as all of his answers. He's quoting here from 6. He says, on the other hand, it is written, verse 7, you shall not put to the test the Lord your God. Don't test God, manipulate God, confuse scripture, and this will destroy your life and will invalidate any dealing with temptation. Now, here comes the third temptation. Remember the purpose for all this temptation. Satan was trying to say, boy, this is how you will win the world by miracle. Jump off that temple, and when you survive that, they'll follow you. It's the same temptation Jesus had on the cross. Remember? They said, but if you'll jump down, if you'll come off the cross, everybody will know you're the Messiah. He didn't come down off the cross. He didn't jump off the cross. He didn't jump down off that temple. Had he jumped down off the cross, they would have said, oh, surely this is Messiah. And for a generation, they may have believed in him, but for 1,000 years, they would not have believed in him. And we do believe in him because he stayed on that cross. He suffered for us. And then, P.S., he rose from the dead. Without the cross, there'd be no salvation. So, we look at the third temptation, and it is strong indeed. And he comes and says, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kings of the world and their glory. And he said to him, the devil, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Isn't that interesting? Satan took him up and showed him all the glory, all the kingdoms of the world. What a sight that must have been. I mean, all the splendor, the beauty of kingdoms, of nations, of continents, of the glory of the ionosphere, the glory of the cosmos. Satan showed him all of this and said, Jesus, you want all the world to worship you and follow you so your kingdom will come and God's will be done. I own all this, Satan says. It's mine. And I'll give it to you. And you don't have to go the way of suffering. You don't have to spend these 3.5 years. out teaching. You won't have to face the cross. I'll give it all. And that'll accomplish your purpose, right? What a temptation. What a temptation. And Jesus said, nope, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Worship God. You know what Jesus knew, and we need to understand? That which you worship, that which I worship, we become like that. It has the highest priority in our life. That which we bow down to. Satan said, just give me a little worship. Let me replace the Father just a minute, and zip, your life purpose will be accomplished. Oh, the temptations that our Lord faced. How strong they were. How debilitating they were. And some of us say, well, you know, when I get with evil, I have a problem. We're like one of my favorite comedians of yesterday was Flip Wilson. Y'all know what he said, if you remember that era. Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. I didn't have a choice. He just overpowered me. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. In the name of Jesus, you have far more than the devil or all his demons can ever overpower you with. That is an illegitimate excuse. You don't need somebody to come and hold their hands up and anoint you with holy oil. You can say, Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, he that is within you and he that is in me is greater than the devil and all the temptation of the world. We just have to use the power that he's given us. Let's get very practical. We understand how Jesus was tempted. We understand how we are tempted in so many, many ways. What do we do? How do we handle temptation? You know, this chocolate one, man, it's full of. Here's another one, cream on the inside. I guess, oh, here it is. Got it all. Sprinkles. I'm going to tell you, I don't think I've had a donut, seriously. And I'm going to say 4 or 5 years, maybe longer than that. I really haven't. You know, I love donuts. I really do. I should have been a policeman. Now, that donut tempts me. Do you think I ought to just take one bite? What do you think? Huh? Just one bite? What do you think? Well, we won't vote on it. But I'll tell you something. That is a real tempt. I'm tempted to. 5-second rule. By the way, parenthetically, the 5-second rule is really legitimate. I looked it up. No, it's true. You can drop something, unless you drop it in water or some particularly dirty place and pick it up in 5 seconds, it's strong probability you'll get no more germs on it. That's true. That's very true. But the bottom line is, what do you do about temptation? We fall into temptation by our will, right? We will that. What do you do about it? First of all, if we're in Christ, we have the power to do these two things. Two little words. The first one is no. Say it with me.
No.
Mighty weak. Say it again.
No.
The second thing is run. Run. That's it. No. Run. Very practical, very simple. And if you're on the Mount of Temptation, by the way, the Mount of Temptation is a universal mount. Remember, it's the only mountain we'll all go up. And what do you do up there? You say,
no.
What do you do?
Run.
Very simple, very simple. The amazing thing about the simplicity of dealing with evil and dealing with all the demons and that which would destroy God's purpose for you and God's purpose for me is that the world and the flesh gets a hold of us. And so many times without the power of the Spirit, without a disciplined life, it's difficult to say, what's the first word?
No.
And it's difficult to
run.
But when we say no, as Jesus did for all three of these temptations, and we learn how to run, all of a sudden, you will be set free. Why temptations? James chapter 1 tells us we're tempted in various places. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us Jesus was tempted in every way that we are tempted. And we're tempted so we will be strong. So we will have, James says, endurance. In the scripture, in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus left this last temptation, it says Satan left him and Jesus came down the mountain of temptation, and it says, and Satan would come and visit him another time. Do you think, oh, I've got all that worked out in my life. Man, I've been through all that. I'm strong now. Don't be silly. Don't be foolish. That's not true. Jesus met Slewfoot again. And so, therefore, we constantly have to watch. We have to constantly be able to say no and constantly be able to run. We do that. We do that. God will work out in your life and my life everything He's planned for us. I'm going to tell you how subtle temptation is before we pray. I've got sticky all in my hands and on my fingers, and before I knew it, I almost... That's how shrewd the forces of evil are.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, as we learn about these things together today, as listeners attempt to stay firm on their winning walk, do you have any advice on how they can withstand temptation from the enemy?
The way you stand against the enemy is to live a life that is a winning walk. It is to walk with Christ. It is to pray He'll give you discernment. It will help you not always to do that which is good, but do that which is best. So many times temptations come not to rob a bank, not to get involved in some immoral enterprise. It comes in, this is good, but we do the good instead of doing that which is best. And God gives us, as sons and daughters of Him, the ability to discern and to do that which is best. Don't settle for the good. Settle only for God speaking to you and to me so we can live out our lives and do that which is best.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Tune in tomorrow as Dr. Young explores the Beatitudes as kingdom principles you can follow for kingdom living and your winning walk. Thank you.
set your spirit free. Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could not breathe? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking? Have you ever cried a tear that you could not explain? Have you ever met a stranger who already knew your name? What if it's Him? What if it's God speaking?
Now